Are you or a loved one in the midst of a cancer diagnosis or bouncing back from your battle? Welcome to Thrive Through Cancer, the podcast that offers hope and healing and shares personal experiences, self-care solutions, health tips, and the support of a community of people just like you. I'm Susan Johnson, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner whose own son was diagnosed with cancer right before his third birthday. My job was to keep people healthy, to help them fight disease. So when my own son was diagnosed with this scary illness, it was so humbling. But rather than becoming a victim, I began researching. I up-leveled my knowledge and my mindset, and I chose to serve others through our own cancer journey. This show is an opportunity to find and share strength through our struggles. You'll hear from health professionals, innovative thinkers, beautiful personalities, and those who have learned to live life to the fullest despite their diagnosis. We'll raise some questions, find some answers, shed a few tears, share more than a few laughs, and give each other the motivation to get through one more day every single day. So join me in this journey and let's learn to thrive through cancer together. I am so excited for you to get to know my dear friend Mark McAfee and learn all about the powerful benefits of raw dairy and the immune system. Mark is the founder and CEO of Raw Farm by Organic Pastures Dairy Company, which is the largest raw milk dairy in the whole wide world. He's also the founder and chairman of the Raw Milk Institute, which is a nonprofit, and he's internationally recognized as a speaker and an expert with an emphasis, of course, on raw milk production standards, gut biome, milk genomics, nutritional benefits, food safety, and the medical benefits of raw and processed milk and products. Mark has been married for 41 years to his beautiful wife, Blaine, who is another dear friend of ours. They have two grown children, Aaron and Kaylee, and one of their favorite things to do is to fly. Mark is a very skilled high-performance pilot with 2,000 hours of experience, and not only does he fly for fun, but he actually flies to help serve Flying Doctors Group and flies to Mexico several times a year in support of the clinics in remote undeserved areas. So Mark is making a giant impact, not just in the world of nutrition and raw dairy, but also in the world in general. And I can't wait for you to get to know him better in this podcast and learn all about the powerful benefits of raw dairy.
Well, I am thrilled that you guys get to hear from who my kids affectionately call Papa Mark, but who the majority of the world knows as probably the smartest, most passionate individual about the immune system, especially when it comes to the benefits and effects of raw dairy. This is Mark McAfee, who is the founder and owner of still, I believe, the largest raw dairy farm in the world. Yeah. And we happen to just have the privilege of being good friends of theirs. And gosh, the role that they played through my son's cancer diagnosis and just in helping really lock arms with us and walking alongside of us through that devastating situation gave us the ability to then teach what they taught us to cancer families all around the world about just the immune system and how there are foods that we can eat to feed that. And so raw milk being one of the most powerful ones. And that's what we get to talk about today. So Mark, thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited that everybody gets to virtually meet you.
Well, it is my absolute honor and pleasure because you are family and we love you and your family and your kids and Kicker and Josh and everybody. So yes.
Thank you. Yes, they love you. Well, still when we came back, we just recently moved back to California, as Mark knows, and we went to the store. Kicker and Sayla both went, "Oh, we can have Papa Mark's milk again." So I said that was the highlight of moving back to California, was getting access to your amazing products. So Mark, I want you to just give us a little bit of history, because I think it's helpful when people hear what your background was, like where you came from and what really kind of got you into this. So tell us a little bit about your story, and then we'll jump into all of this incredible talk about raw milk.
Grew up on a farm, grew up on a dairy until I was 13 years old. I was a welder, first job out of high school in a mine, and saw a guy almost get killed, and paramedics flew in with helicopters, and I was so dazzled by the rotor wash of the helicopters and just so excited. I want to be one of those guys, and I did. I went off and became, I got my pre-med taken care of, became a paramedic. paramedic, was on the helicopter rescue team, recruited paramedics, a little bit of a time as a pilot, but just really enjoyed management and the humanitarian part of being a paramedic and touching other people and the medical part, the acute care medical part. In 1996, my grandparents had passed away, and I'd done a little hobby farming through this period to kind of keep my sanity, because a paramedic, you get kind of exhausted and you want to have a place to get away. And my grandparents passed away, and there was 1,000 acres of prime agricultural land in Fresno County that was there. And my brothers didn't want to farm. They'd gone on and do their own thing. And I was done with 24-hour shifts. And so my wife and I decided we'd raise the kids. My son, Aaron, who's now 39, I'm 61, my wife, 60, been married for 42 years, totally in love with my sweetheart. And started our operations all certified organic. And we started producing organic alfalfa to feed organic farms, organic dairies. And I realized I grew up on a dairy, went on to feed my own cows. So I got a contract with Organic Valley to produce organic milk to be pasteurized. And within literally just a month or two of starting our dairy, Organic Pastures Dairy, as it was named back in 1999, 2000, I did not realize something really, really fateful had occurred. The Altadena brand in Los Angeles had sold their business to Dean's Foods. And they were a huge raw milk producer, the Stubies. Were big raw milk producers. And I did not know that they basically left the marketplace. People were in Los Angeles saying, where's my raw milk? And so they started showing up at our dairy saying, we want your milk raw. And they taught me what they wanted. And here's this guy who's an ex-paramedic, always like connecting to people all the time, talking to people. And I was like, I was listening. And when they're saying, we want your milk raw, I started listening. And I got a dose of it real quick, that this is powerful food. It changes our lives. We need it. And I got a call from a guy in LA that said, can you bring down a couple hundred half gallons of your milk? So I went to our milk tank without any labels or anything. I put a bunch of milk in a bottle and put a cap on the top. I just bought the plastic, did it, and ran down to LA with my wife in a Suburban with an ice chest in the back. And I go in the back alley of this place in Venice Beach, which is kind of like a hippie hangout kind of thing, where movie stars and, you know, all the things you could get that were illegal. They called it the garage because literally they opened it up every 3 days in an alleyway and people went and got the stuff and they closed it afterwards. So I drive down the alley and my wife and I, Blaine and I, look at each other, what's going on here? There's like 100 people just cheering the arrival of milk, right? Raw milk. I was like, what are they doing? As we pulled in, they opened up the doors of the back of the Suburban, started grabbing milk and throwing $10 and $20 bills inside of the car saying, can you come back next week? And I'm like, there's thousands of dollars laying all around the car, uncounted, and it's like, whatever. And the people said, we love you. And this, and the story goes on and on about people saying, well, we don't want more. And there's people coming and they need milk. And it's like a very UN feeding the starving in Africa kind of a scenario. You know? And it moved me. It moved me deeply. And so Lane and I left going, what the hell just happened? And it was like, we had a 4-hour talk going all the way home about, we need to get a permit to have a creamery and get this going right now. And literally within about 90 days, we had a permit and we had bottles of milk going out. And we actually hired the gentleman who operated the garage, James Stewart, to start distributing in Los Angeles. And we built a $1 million market in about 8 months. And Whole Foods, the classic quote from Whole Foods when they carried our product was, how fast can you drive that down here? That was their answer. So it was a very interesting time period in 1999, 2000, which was very formative. But then I started to realize I need to know more. And I became a tenacious, persistent student of raw milk. And I applied all of my pre-med and all my ability to read and think and talk to people and hang out with the UC Davis International Milk Genomics Consortium PhDs to study breast milk. Because remember, breast milk is raw milk. It comes from humans, not cows or camels or horses or goats or sheep or reindeer, but very similar in terms of the last 10 or 15,000 years of mankind consuming these other mammals' milk, because it's a whole food, it's portable, and you can take it with you without killing the animal. And so it's sun-driven. You know, you got grass, you got a cow or a goat or sheep or a camel, you're good to go with some food today. And by the way, that old milk is called kefir, or strain it and make cheese. So there's really a very powerful part of humanity where raw milk and humans and mammals have kind of worked together to sustain life for the last 15,000 years. And we believe the science is very clear that it created a competitive advantage, because whole food that was really, really good for the gut builds the immune system like crazy. Well, that's its role. the first food of life. A baby is born, the umbilical cord is cut. Now the next communication is through the breast, through the udder, to the baby. And that's where the colostrum comes from. That's where antibodies come from. That's where microRNA from the mother comes to the baby to direct things. And raw milk does three things. It nourishes completely, it protects, and it directs. It's powerful. It directs. When the baby's confused, doesn't know what to do, mama gives direction through genetic coding and the bacteria and the enzymes and all the wonderful plethora of immunoglobulins and antibodies and all these things, including microRNA, all these bioactive components are alive coming from mom to baby, builds the immune system that did not exist in utero. And so that's its role, first food of life. So you can see how that matches quite well with today, people taking personal responsibility for nutrition to build an immune system, especially in kind of the ravages of where we are in our first world, kind of non-nutrition environment, right? Where we're eating a lot of sugar and antibiotics and GMOs and highly processed, sterilized things that have long shelf life. But what about the gut life? Yeah. And people recognizing that whole foods are for the gut, not for the shelf. They may not have as long a shelf life. They're meant to break down and be easily assimilated. They're not meant to last for 8 months or 2 years on a shelf. They're meant to be immediately consumed, break down, and nourish your body whole. So that's a really quick snapshot in 5 minutes of where I began and where I am today. And now we are the largest raw milk producer in the world, thriving. But I will say, and you're going to ask this question, I know it because you've already asked it, but safety is the big question. You know, you can produce it, but is it safe? Because in America, we have a very, almost a, it is, it's an overly narrow perspective. And this is a real big takeaway from today's podcast of what the word safe means. Because a whole food product that's unprocessed and whole has a diverse array of bacteria, wonderful bacteria that are fantastic for the gut. But does it include pathogenic bacteria, which can make some of the weaker of us very sick? And that's where the downfall of raw milk has been, is what standards are you using? Using raw milk for, intended for pasteurization, which they don't care about pathogens, all the, who cares? Or raw milk for human consumption, which has to be pathogen-free. So we have adopted a set of standards, and the California has this set of standards, and the Raw Milk Institute has a set of standards now that allows for the reduction of very, very low-risk food, which is basically pathogen-free. We don't promise it, but it comes right close to it. It can be tested and so on and so forth. So the question I had about the definition of safety is, should we eat sterilized foods that don't have any bacteria and have no potential of acutely, I mean, today or tomorrow making you sick, while at the same time fostering and bringing on chronic long-term inflammation and disease, which will kill you and cause a tremendous burden on society and make you sick? Is that safe? And I say, absolutely, it's not safe. So the word safety should be, yes, you should not become acutely ill from any food, but it should support you for health the rest of your life. And so what we've been able to do is wear both hats and serve both masters. We embrace Mother Nature's blueprint using organic practices on the farm and raw and unprocessed and chilled and tested. And at the same time, we're supporting a very anti-inflammatory immune system process and gut process that will actually decrease inflammation and reduce or eliminate long-term chronic disease processes like arthritis and asthma and allergies and heart disease, which are driven by inflammation. And Dr. Bruce German gave the keynote to start off the International Milk Genomics Consortium conference this year, and 125 PhDs in the room. He said, raw milk is the most anti-inflammatory food in existence.
Wow.
Wow. I said, I wrote that down real quick.
Yeah.
Number two, chronic inflammation drives all disease. Chronic inflammation.
So true.
Different people in different ways, but chronic inflammation will drive disease processes. Chronic. Now, those are pretty powerful statements, if you think about it. He also said the gut is the largest immune system organ in our body. So you put the math together and it's real quick, you figure out what's going on with that whole thing. And he's driven by his research in breast milk, but he's done a lot of research in other ways. And the room's filled with PhDs that study all kinds of milk and international PhDs that study camel's milk and reindeer milk and all kinds of milk from around the world that are consumed by humans and made into different products by processing. And It's interesting to hear Arla, the big processor in Denmark, lamenting the loss of the bioactive components they know are so vital to human health. And they're saying, we need to collect these somehow and make it into something we can add into the milk after processing. And I was thinking to myself, Peter, I know the man, he's a PhD researcher. We've already done it, my friend, just make the raw milk safe on the farm and you're good to go. And he knows that, but the problem is the battleship is built. It's going in a direction where pasteurization is the only solution to dirty milk because that's the standards they have. And that's the cheapness of the milk they buy from farmers. And they put it all together in one big tank and it's got to be pasteurized in some form or fashion. So the battleship doesn't turn very easily. It's huge. It's been going for 80 to 100 years. So we're literally not on the battleship. We're connected to consumers doing something else. So that's an interesting angle on safety because I believe that a safe food must be whole, biodiverse. And yes, because we don't have the pathogen protection of a good functioning gut because we're missing our mucosal linings and all kinds of stuff, leaky gut syndrome. We have tissues exposed to the food, which are partially digested with pathogens. That's bad news. So we need to make sure that we rebuild the gut so it works right. The mucosal linings are rebuilt and we have the diversity of all the bacteria and all the food that feeds those bacteria, which are the whole foods. And then we start having a strong immune system, our ability to deal with a plethora of threats that are in our environment.
I think what you said about the safety is so true. And that's the question I get the most, you know, especially working in the world of cancer, is, well, I thought raw milk wasn't safe. And I'll link to a blog post that I wrote where I quoted you actually as well, but about the safety of raw milk and actually the history, I should say, of raw milk, why we started pasteurizing it, because it was dirty. But I will never forget what you said to me one day, and I was so disgusted. You said, I think we were preparing maybe for a cancer conference or something, and you would said, do you know what they do with pasteurized milk? And the lack of accountability, right? Because I think what was happening is you guys were dealing with all of the ridiculous amounts and layers of testing and everything you go through to ensure the purity and safety of your milk. But you had said, yeah, every farmer A, farmer B, and farmer C have no accountability on how clean they keep their cows, how clean they keep their farm, how clean they even keep their milking area.
Anything, yeah.
But it all goes into the same tank. So what is making farmer A want to actually try to do well and try to keep healthy cows and try to keep it clean? It doesn't matter because farmer A's milk's going in with farmer B's milk and it's basically mucus is what you had said. And then we heat it and we murder it. And now we don't have a living food. We have something that's causing lactose intolerance and IBS and all these issues.
Correct. It's very inflammatory. In fact, the FDA has milk, they mean pasteurized milk, as the number one most allergenic inflammatory food in the United States of America. So it's no wonder that people see milk as a problem. Because as it's presented in the marketplace, it really is. And you see 1-3% per year of loss of market share because people have lactose intolerance. It triggers allergies. If you have asthma, it could be a trigger to the asthma because it's so inflammatory. But in raw form, it's exactly the opposite, complete opposite of the playing field, entirely different, not even comparable, where actually the raw whey protein stabilizes the mast cells and keeps histamines from being released. And all these bioactive components protect you from having inflammatory issues. And so, I mean, you wouldn't want inflammation in a newborn. Why would you want that? It would trigger all kinds of chronic problems and you wouldn't build anything. So really the design, the blueprint nature had for raw milk was entirely different than what comes out of the pasteurizer and homogenizer and standardizer, which is completely just annihilated. And that's why we see these PhDs just completely lamenting the loss of the bioactives and trying to collect it and put it back in after it's been decimated.
It's like fortifying wheat that's been processed. You just can't recreate it. So let me ask you, we actually together worked on a few case studies, but I want to talk about, so I know that there are three instances in my life where I saw raw dairy completely transform health. One was with Selah when she was born. We adopted Selah at birth. And so nursing wasn't an option. I learned about raw milk. I remember our pediatrician going, oh, you can't do that. And thankfully I had a trusted mentor who told me about you guys and said, here's a raw milk baby formula. You can feed her this. She thrived, did amazing. She came from a really health compromised birth mother. So that was one instance where I saw tremendous health improvement and benefit. The next instance was with this little boy that you and I worked together, who had severe eczema.
And I was allergies. Up in Mammoth, yeah.
Yes. And so when you said allergies, I think, again, it's so important for people to understand the difference between pasteurized and raw. So we took this little boy, you donated product for a few months, and this little boy was very, very sick. I mean, just the most awful case of eczema I've ever seen. Not only did we put him on raw milk, but we had him bathe in raw kefir, and he improved probably 85% over the course of a few months.
Yeah.
And I just remember that was my first, second to Selah, my first experience of watching somebody in that compromise of health, literally didn't give the kids supplements. They were too poor to even afford a supplement. So you guys had donated the product. We basically trialed it with, I also put them on some bone broth, and the kid healed. Yeah. So I want you to share the example. There was a gentleman from Africa, I believe an athlete. I want you to talk about that.
Kameli. He was a Maasai warrior from Kenya, and he was actually orphaned as an infant, and literally at 3 years old was herding cows at 3 and 4 years old. And he would suckle directly from the udder of the Maasai cows. He said if it wasn't for those udders, and he was kind of mentored by a local physician who saw him and kind of put him under his wing. But he went through the whole Maasai warrior thing and staying out and hunting lions and doing whatever they do as Maasai. And, you know, drinking raw blood, you know, the kefir they make, which is not called kefir, it's called something else, but it's fermented milk. I mean, these people are tall, strong, brave, clear-eyed. They're the ones that win all the marathons, you know, incredible. He comes to America to go to Stanford University. He was there with Chelsea Clinton many years ago. And in fact, he's got a picture with Clinton and Chelsea and everything in graduation. But anyway, with Kameli, he works for the UN now and does a lot of outreach to Africa. But Kameli, after a couple of years here in America, had no idea of what nutrition was at all. He'd grown up in an environment where whole foods is all he had, and raw milk was a base. But he came to America, he started drinking raw, pasteurized milk. He thought, oh, America, milk. He got sicker than a dog. He couldn't drink that. He started drinking soy milk. And you and I know where that takes you. He was eating sugar. He was doing this. He was doing everything you'd ever want to do to undo a wonderful gut. And he ended up sitting in Dr. Chris Gardner's nutrition class at Stanford University and go to the bathroom for 15 minutes. And Dr. Gardner said, hey, go down to the clinic and figure out what's going on. So he went down there and he was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. This was just 4 years. And so here he is, stressed out of his brains that he's got this thing. He doesn't know what to do. He's in America. He's trying to go to college and doing great, but not doing very good with his gut and feeling horrible. Well, a movie producer knew about his story because there was a whole story about 9/11 and him being a liaison and donating a bunch of cows to America. And there's a whole story about the donation of Maasai cows as a blessing and a healing process for America. And so got this movie producer involved, and the movie producer knew me. And he says, I got to get you guys together. So I got together with him and I brought some of my raw milk to this meeting. We were at a restaurant and he looked at that raw milk and he goes, I'm not sure if you're telling me it's really raw. He didn't really trust me. He didn't know me from Adam, right? So he had a glass of it and he and I cheered each other and you could see him with trepidation trying to drink some of this milk, and he drank it. He goes, oh my God, it's like back home. This is delicious. And so for a year, we gave him 8 gallons of raw milk a week for free.
Holy cow.
And holy cow, literally. In front of Dr. Chris Gardner at Stanford, who's a PhD, in front of him in his class, saw complete remission, recover from Crohn's disease, and no surgery and no colostomy when it's not supposed to be curable. And the quote is from this Kameli was, I live in California, but I eat in Kenya.
Wow.
Yeah. Because of the fact that that's what he grew up on. And he religiously consumed raw milk because it healed his gut. It changed the microbiome and conditions completely, where the inflammation and soy and all that kind of crap was all just completely dismissed from his diet. And he relied literally on just a few things and literally healed his gut. So it's a powerful story. And it also says something else. Raw milk is universal food for all human beings. Pasteurized milk there's this whole lactose intolerance thing with lactase persistent genetics and all this crap. Well, let me tell you something. The Maasai do not have the lactase persistent gene, but they all consume raw milk, no problem at all. The Mongolians, they're as Asian as you get. They drink raw milk from their mares and their horses and their kefir like crazy all day long. No problem. They do not have the lactase persistence gene at all. So tell me, is it lactose intolerance or is it pasteurization intolerance?
Yep. You are totally correct. Kicker, as he's going through treatment, he'd always had a little bit of a hard time with dairy. And so we just thought, well, we'll keep him off of milk completely. And we'd mostly done raw milk. Here's what's so interesting. He never really liked milk. He liked butter. He fell in love with kefir. But what we saw happen was it was almost that he tapped into his own innate intelligence.
Right.
And as he's going through chemo, I would send Mark pictures, I would send Mark and Blaine pictures of Kicker, 3 years old. He would carry a quart of kefir into the doctor's office and literally drink it out of the bottle. And here's what we saw happen. Yep. For 3.5 years, his immune system was rebuilt. He thrived through treatment.
Yep.
And I can't help but think he's drinking this milk, this kefir, and it's rebuilding his system as he's getting poisoned with chemotherapy. And now he tolerates dairy just fine. In fact, he's the one that I have to buy a gallon of milk every other day for.
Well, raw milk is low bacteria count, diverse, but very, very low bacteria count. And it's the pH is, you know, it's higher. It's 6.7, I think it's 6.5, pretty much neutral. Kefir is super raw milk because the bacteria counts are millions of bacteria in its diversity per milliliter. And a diversity of them, we have 12, we add on to the 100 or so or more that you find in raw milk. And it's never the same, it's diversity. And the pH is lower, it's low fours or high threes. So it's got a long shelf life, it's already been fermented, it's pre-digested. And I believe that through the history of mankind, that more people probably drank a kefir-like product than they did raw milk because there was no refrigeration available. So the farmer would milk the cow into that container that probably wasn't very clean, that had bacteria from the last batch. And therefore, that was the mother culture to kind of seed in the building of a fermentation process. So you would let that sit warm because it wasn't chillable because they didn't have any chilling process. And that would ferment in literally 24 hours into something that was clabbered or kefir-like. And that was really what sustained people, because you could keep that milk for weeks. You could make cheese out of it by putting it through a cheesecloth and adding some sea salt, and you had yourself a beautiful cheese that would last forever, literally. And so kefir is a superfood. It is a super powerful raw milk power food. It really, really is, especially with the gut, because the gut thrives on the diversity of bacteria and the food that feeds it. And raw milk has the food, the lactose and other sugars, and it has the diversity, and those feed each other and as they're supposed to. Because remember, babies thrive on just mother's milk alone, nothing else for months. And so it's a whole food by definition. So Kicker's story is one that can be replicated for other children that are being challenged by cancer and other disease processes as well. You know, cancer is a decimating, emotionally terrible kind of thing to hit your family. The angel of your life is hit and the family just crumbles. It's decimating emotionally. I get choked up even thinking about it, as you know. And so, you know, one of the things that's interesting about raw milk, Dr. Annette Jewett, who's a cancer researcher at UCLA, she's a PhD, she teaches medical students about this. She's at the Weintraub Dental Cancer Institute, place down there at UCLA. You can Google her, Dr. Annette Jewett. She said, it's very interesting to know that cancer comes from stem cells that are not being directed by genetic information. They emerge, they're going, what do? I'm here to do something. And there's no genetic information to direct them. They'll become a tooth or a hair or an eye or whatever it's supposed to do. They're sitting there going, oh, I'm gonna follow this really bad influencer called a cancer direction, some weird thing that's over here versus being directed to do what they're supposed to do. And so bacterial diversity of bacteria plays a very big role in putting these stem cells to task, giving them the genetic coding at the cellular level to go to work and do the right thing versus being confused in this plethora of disinformation from this low bacterial load, kind of the sterile, it's not sterile, but I mean, it doesn't have the genetic diversity to go about doing the job it's supposed to do. So that's the really, at the very basic level of how cancer pops up and goes to work doing the wrong things. So if you want to reduce that risk, provide the genetic information to direct stem cells and what they're supposed to do versus what they might end up doing because they're not being directed properly. And that comes from Dr. Annette Jewett out of UCLA. I think that's kind of an oversimplified way of looking at it, but it is a good way of kind of rationalizing the fact that a good gut microbiome with adversity of bacteria and the food to feed it is a good first step. And that's not to guilt. That's not to guilt any parents that have a child that they're trying their best with. That's not to do anything like that. Just saying, this is the basics. And so that's on the prevention side. On the healing side or the challenge of thriving after, you know this, you kind of have to embrace whatever you can get out there, and you're going to have chemo, you may have radiation, you may have surgery, you're going to have holistic stuff, nutritionally dense foods, you're going to have all kinds of stuff. By the way, the last part I said, all the nutritional is not really part of the protocol for cancer, they just go kill. But the bottom line is, while they're killing, if that's the process you're using, you need to be really supporting health and life. Because if they're killing, they're killing off the good and the bad. And if they're killing off the good, how's your immune system supposed to thrive? Because literally 80% of your immune system is the biodiversity of bacteria in your gut. So if you kill off that, you depress your immune system. You and I both know that doctors say, we suspect your child may come down with some sickness because of the weakened immune system. The bad bug that's getting everybody might kill your child. That's not the cancer killing them. That's the bad bug that's going around, right? Or the bug that you don't have a defense against. Well, you need to build a strong immune system during that susceptible period in all times. But I mean, during that susceptible period, for sure, because the chemo might very well be life-saving, but it might be life-taking if you don't keep the rest of your body shored up and strong during that immune-depressing event. So use all the tools, man. That's what you got to do. If you got to use modern medicine, great. But at the same time, you use Season Johnson and Thriving Through Cancer tools, which is the deep nutrition, the building and strengthening the immune system, which is gut microbiome based, to assure that it doesn't take you. That the healing might be worse than the cure, than the disease process of cancer. The healing might be just as worse or better because it makes you susceptible to things that might not be susceptible because of the immune system change. So that's kind of a powerful, okay, prevent, okay, great. Then afterwards, what do you do if you get stuck with this? Build that immune system, strengthen that immune system. You want good bacteria and you want the food that feeds it. And you want to have deeply nourishing, not just raw milk, but all the wonderful foods, the bone broth, fantastic, avocados, onions, mushrooms, beef broth. I mean, the whole food nutrition, the French paradox foods, the Mediterranean diet foods, and other foods. I'm not saying bad things about other cultures, but the bottom line is whole food nutrition.
Yeah.
And you need to also add in the kefirs, which actually just catalyze that entire process to assure that the immune system function is working, because that's its role. Its first food of life is to build the immune system.
And this is so important. It's so important. And one of the things that many oncologists will say, and we're not telling you not to listen to your oncologist, but we want you to be reminded that your oncologist went through medical school and they don't learn nutrition. They have, in fact, nutrition's an elective that many of them don't even take. So use your oncologist as the chemotherapist and as the radiation expert and helping, they want to help you heal. But the what Mark just said, the power of a diverse gut, everything they're doing with the chemo, with the radiation, and with the antibiotics that are recommended yes. as regular preventative use, you're creating a sterile environment, and that is not going to allow you to fight. And so using this along with that is so necessary.
100%. As a paramedic, as a person who hung out with physicians and a guy who looks at this stuff, I don't see one indication at all for an antibiotic to be used during chemotherapy. Not one. It is taking down the protection areas that need to stay up. The chemotherapy is targeting the bad guy. Okay, I get that. But why would you take out all the good guys when you're targeting the bad guy? You want the good guys on your side and you want them fighting and strong and growing. And the antibiotic is absolutely, in my opinion, contraindicated. But in their mind, they're thinking, I want to preemptively get a bad guy that might come along during this weak period. That's what they're trying to do with the antibiotic. But antibiotic resistance now is prevalent. I mean, there are so few antibiotics that work anymore. It's insane because we've overused them. They should be reserved for when you really, really need them and you've got an infection that's really bad. Use it then. Don't use it as a prevention from day one, although that's the protocol. That's kind of insane because they don't understand the immune system.
Right.
The immune system is the plethora, diversity of bacteria and the food that feeds it and the structures in the gut. That's what the immune system is on the adaptive side and also the other side. So the innate side. So both sides are part of that system. And if you destroy that, suppress that, you are welcoming deleterious side effects from chemo that are not necessary. And one of the things that got me great joy with Kicker was to see him thriving through a process which put other kids out.
Yeah.
You know, really, really knocked him out. He was doing well. And that's a direct result of Mama Karen and Mama listening and you really taking care of the deep nutrition to support the body as it endured, you know, the death match, right?
Yeah, literally.
That's literally what's going on. So the more that moms can and dads can see this for their children and for themselves, if they have it, is to prevent it as much as you can. But we have things that happen to us that are unpredictable, and we have environments, things that are hitting us, elements we really don't understand in our environments that are hard to control. But prevent as much as you can. And then if it hits you, okay, fine. Then you do everything you can to use the best modern science. But also you build yourself up and keep yourself from being suppressed and becoming a victim of modern science.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's so powerful. That's Papa Mark's words of wisdom right there. So, Mark, let me ask you, not everybody is as fortunate as me and lives in California and has access to all of your products, your raw milk, your kefir, the butter, the cream. Oh my gosh, the cream, by the way, that's just should be
insane.
Add a little maple syrup, whip it up, and that's a meal. And also nutrients and information. Food, remember, isn't just nutrients, it's information if it's the right food. So, anyways, we have access to all of your products. You do ship your cheese to different places, but my biggest question is if somebody's listening to this and they live in Idaho or Oregon or New York, somewhere where raw milk is not legal to sell in grocery stores, how would they begin the process of looking for this option of a good, healthy, well-done option for raw milk?
I would suggest this. I'd start off with the Raw Milk Institute. They have a way to find farmers that use the very highest standards, do testing on a routine basis. And we've got 34 farmers now listed across the United States and part of Canada that actually are listed. There's been a ripple effect beyond those farmers for other farmers that may not be listed or certified, who've actually picked up a lot of these practices, but have not gone through the hassle of becoming listed and certified. You want to visit that farm and you want to really understand, do they test, you know, what are their call form standards? How many recalls have they had? You know, what's it taste like? What's the shelf life? And you can always call the Raw Milk Institute or email us and we will give you direction on perhaps the kinds of filtering questions you can ask of that farmer to make sure that they're going to be appropriate for your family to consume. In California, Washington, Arizona, there's six or eight other states, raw milk is legal and it's monitored by the state. That means a little bit. It doesn't mean that much because the state standards, they're not really the farmer and they really don't know what's going on every day. So you really need to know the farmer. And so I know there's some cow shear operations that are doing fantastically and do a great job using the standards for raw milk. The other thing is this. Josh is over here. Come here, Josh. Josh is my son-in-law. Kaylee's husband. You met.
Hi, Josh. Yes, I know Josh.
It's a podcast.
How you doing?
Good. Good to see you.
He just gave me
that item right
this.
There.
This is hot off the press.
Ooh.
I don't know if you can see this or not, but this is a minefield for me to speak about, and I'm going to select my words very carefully.
Okay.
We have approval after a 3-year courting with the FDA. And after a year of working with Sprouts, that raw milk kefir for pet food is now available nationally.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yes.
Oh, now, my gosh.
The FDA does not allow us to promote it as a human food product. However, I will say that this product and this product are exactly the same with the same human consumption standards. It just has a different label. So that any intelligent person can do the math and figure that one out. Your pets are going to love it. And so there you go.
And as a consumer, you will also love it. I can say that.
Well, that's exciting news. What we're saying is the FDA busted me 10 years ago for, quote, misbranding our product as pet food for human consumption. Well, this is pet food for pet food consumption, but it's exactly the same as what has a label on it and cures sold in California for human consumption. So they can figure that out and do what you want. And your pets are going to love it, too, because the pets need to have the same kind of digestive health systems as we do. They're not much different than we are. And so when you feed them sterile food, they fall apart. You need to have it for your pets. So that's said, that's really important.
That Sprouts, is huge.
It's nationwide in all the Sprout stores, which is 300. That's a 4-year really hard work effort to do that. But that's, I would say that that's certainly an option for people. But at the same time, I would suggest that go to Raw Milk Institute, find your local farmer. And if that doesn't work, find a raw milk producer. They're at realmilk.com, realmilk.com. There's a map of the United States and Canada Alaska and Hawaii showing where you can find raw milk from a local producer. Most of them are cow shares. But I would suggest going there and then ask inquisitory questions. Be very inquisitive about what's going on and ask us. We can help you help that farmer do well for you. So, you know, I was in Hawaii a couple of years ago doing a presentation with the National Farmers Union, and I knew that Hawaii didn't have raw milk. And I asked the guy, I said, hey, is there raw milk here? He said, no, not legally, but it's down the street about 2 miles. So I haven't ever been anywhere where there wasn't raw milk locally because people want it. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of finding it. And I went and visited the farmer, and he says, yeah, we know all about you. We just keep a really low profile because they'll bust us if we talk about it. But we have a cow share here. They had 3 cows, and I watched them do the whole thing right there, just down the street in Maui. So that's a very strictly prohibited raw milk state, and I found it very quickly. So I think it's available. You just have to find it and be dedicated to going and getting it.
Yeah. And I think what you said about visiting the farm, that's when we were in Oregon for the last 4 years. We tried a few, actually, and then with your guidance and the Real Milk Institute, we were able to find one that was recommended, and even though you recommended it, we still wanted to see, and you told me what to look for. Like, is the milking area clean? Yep. Are the cows on pasture? What does it look like? Is it something that you would want to eat? And that's important.
To quote Mr. Pat Kenley, he used to be the director of the California Department of Health. He's retired the last few years, but back in 2011-12, when we were actually forming the standards for the common standards, we were going to train farmers. He said, look for kitchen clean. Now, that depends on whose kitchen you're looking at, but the idea was a clean kitchen. We're not looking for sterile. We're looking for a clean kitchen. And if you find that in a conscientious person who's producing raw milk in a clean kitchen with rapid chilling and healthy cows and a good, then you're going to be okay.
Yeah. And listen, for those of you listening that maybe you don't even really enjoy milk, and milk is something you're like, ooh, something, I don't drink a cup of milk. Yeah. I hope you took away from this that you need to look at this. I say this a lot about different foods and tastes. Like, if you reprogram your brain to realize that food is medicine, food is also information, take that milk, and you don't need to drink a cup, mix it in a smoothie. Yeah. Take that kefir, take the butter, take the cheese, and cook with it. Get creative. Like, this is, it's medicine. It is so powerful. And so using it and looking at it that way,
Here's something that a lot of people don't know about raw milk, which I think is fascinating. And I didn't know about it until about 5 years ago. And I know more and more now because I really concentrated on it. But the bioactive components, the valuable, wonderful elements found in the lactoferrins, the lactoferroxidases, and the microRNAs, and all these great things that are killed off in pasteurization are carried on the butterfat cell. 60% of them or more are carried on the outer layers of the butterfat cell. That is the carrier. The fat is the carrier. So when you have skim milk, which doesn't have any fat, spray dried, ultra processed, and put into baby formulas, makes you want to cry.
Ugh.
I mean, that's not what came out of mama's breast. That is not raw milk anymore, but it's masquerading as, and you add in the corn syrup, all the other crap, and you get the stuff that you wonder why kids are so screwed up. So the bottom line is raw milk has 3 to 5% butter fat, depending on who it's coming from. That's got 3 to 5% of this, the fat carrying these wonderful things. Cream is 40% butter.
That's why I like it.
Carrying all bioactives, right? People go nuts over cream because it's delicious. It whips up. You can add a little something to it. And oh my God, it's a killer food. It's fantastic. Butter is 85% butterfat.
Wow.
Wow is right. Raw butter is a golden superfood when it comes to bioactives, because in fact, you have this extremely concentrated, 40-fold concentrated. Is that right? 40-fold? 80 to 4. What is that? That's 20-fold.
I don't do math, so.
4% versus 80%. You the math.
It's wow.
an incredible amount concentrated more of these bioactives found in raw milk. Mm. So raw butter is precious if you can get your hands on it.
Yeah.
The raw cream, it's magical in its own right because it's got, but I'm just saying the concentration of the bioactive elements carried 60% or more on the butterfat molecule or butterfat globule, I should say. So yeah. just an interesting takeaway, pretty powerful.
Which is kind of the idea of like this one product, this one piece of product can turn into all of these different sources of nutrients.
Yeah.
From raw, a healthy cow, you can get all of those powerful nutrients. And that's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing. I'm talking to a PhD right now from back east who met me at the IMGC conference, who works for a processing company who's trying to extract bioactives out of raw milk and then putting it into products after pasteurization. Obviously, that's not raw milk, but
right.
It's a nice pathway down what they're trying to do, something good, right? Well, it's interesting because it looks like we may have a deal with them, at least it's tentative, to come to our cheese vat where we lose all this whey protein. The whey proteins are carrying a lot of bioactive elements. And they have this little machine that can centrifuge out and collect a lot of the bioactives that otherwise be wasted in the raw whey protein and collected and actually used as a concentrated form to be added into foods that don't have those elements to bring back the life.
Oh,
CPR
wow.
for dead food. It's interesting. CPR for dead food.
That's a good, that could be like a whole brand. That's amazing.
Right.
That's
it's
awesome.
It's interesting to see the struggling industries recognizing the value of raw milk. My yeah. big quote at the IMG was, we already do what you guys are all trying to do. We just make raw milk safely. And by the way, we add value to the farmer, not the processor.
Yes.
And that is a radical statement because when you change who gets the money, nobody likes it.
Yep. And you have not, that is something to say that since day one and you sharing that beginning story of literally farm to consumer, that hasn't changed.
Nope.
In fact, you guys might walk into a Sprouts and run right into Mark.
Yep.
Or he would drive. You would fly your little plane to deliver milk to our remote little mountain town we used to live in Mammoth. I mean, this is farm to consumer, and that is what is so powerful. And that's also going to get you your most fresh, pure, healthy yeah. product as well.
It also gets you an unusual relationship. Mm-hmm. If you look at a farmer that's selling milk to be processed, he's basically on the farm getting very little money. They had economic problems, probably is. Kids don't want to be like dad because it's such a struggling environment. They want to leave the farm. So he's by himself. He's struggling financially. He doesn't get any hugs or kisses from moms that come out and say thank you. So he's socially alienated, economically deprived. Suicide rate number one in America, farmers in that situation. Huge suicide rates for dairymen, small dairymen. Just incredible. Because they're the generation that's going to lose it, right? Go to my position. Next generation is all about what we're doing. Love what we're doing. Get out of the way, Dad. I want to take over, okay? Getting paid well. We can set our own price point. We also have the hugs, the kisses, the thanks, the touring from the consumers to say, I want to know my farmer. Mm-hmm. So you're not socially alienated. You're not economically deprived. You're alive. You're on fire with excitement and joy and purpose. Getting to talk to Susan Johnson, my beautiful friend, Susan Johnson, about how to help people prevent cancer and recover from it and thrive during that process. What a gift. That is a wonderful, wonderful new hope for farmers to connect to consumers. And I know all of our raw milk institute, small farmers, some of them are 5-10 cows, up to 100 cows, all over the place. They're getting that same kind of thing. I love this we project, not me project, where all of yeah. us can thrive. I think it's powerful. It's really, really good.
That's so beautiful. I love that. And thank you. That's such a beautiful way to end this discussion. But here's the problem. I think we have about 4 more hours that we could discuss this. So probably have to have you back on.
Yep.
And we're going to need to dig in even deeper to some of these things, because I think for a lot of people, this will be new information. And because it goes so far against what they've been told and taught, and even what their oncologist actively might be telling them, it's kind of that, you know, we need to saturate their brains, you know?
I don't think the oncologist would say, don't breastfeed your child if it was a breastfeeding time period.
Right.
I don't think they would say that. They would say, sure, you should. It would help their immune system.
Yep, you're exactly
right. But when
it
comes to 18 months later, nah, raw milk. Because their education talked about dark ages of the 1870s, 1880s, and 90s, where yes, there was some serious problems with some raw milk. The raw milk out in the countryside and fresh green pastures and clean water and sunshine was probably really good. And I know for a fact, a lot of it went to the Mayo Clinic under the AAMMC standards, the American Association of Medical Milk Conditions, with Dr. Coy. But yet the filthy milk from downtown Boston, New York, and Philadelphia, which was being fed distiller's grains and filthy water and tuberculosis. Yeah, that stuff was filthy. It needed to be cooked right now. Yeah, to keep killing people. Well, that won out because that means you could capitalize on filth. What we're talking about is healing people through cleanliness, but yet you assure the blueprint of life in the product without decimating it through heat.
Yeah. And so not only is it healing, but it can be incredible. I should say, is it safe? But it can be incredibly, incredibly healing.
Yes.
Mark, before we go, I want to ask you, is there something that has been inspiring you lately? Just something that you feel like has been, I don't know, just making you excited?
It's not associated with raw milk, but it is a little bit. I've always loved to fly. It's just freedom with the ultimate responsibility keyed together. It really keeps my brain engaged with thinking and looking at nature and looking at weather and looking at mechanical things, just a million things that keep things safe. I've been flying for the Young Eagles program for the Experimental Aircraft Association of America. And Young Eagles are kids, 8 to 15 years old, that want to become pilots or have it, I thought maybe of like that. And I, every month I go fly 8 to 10 of them, where we all get together as pilots in Fresno and we fly them up. And to talk to them and encourage them and mentor them and give them hope and give them vision and give them someone to look forward to and give them positive pats on the head and put them in an airplane and take them up 2,000 feet off the ground and show that, you know, you can take full responsibility and you can also actually be free as well. And it's amazing how many of these parents that I see, because every kid comes with a parent. Oh, I love your products.
That's awesome.
2 degrees of separation.
You.
I know you. I've got a sticker on my plane that says raw goodness, you know? And it's like, then we have a whole conversation. How do you find out about raw milk? And they found out that I am the CEO of Raw Farm, Organic Pastures, and their kids are flying with me. And I just took the kids up, and yet there are consumers, and there's a love affair. And
that's, it's like, so cool.
It's so fun for me to mentor children and also provide hope and nutritional stuff when I can, and continue to work with Raw Milk Institute. It's very exciting to see other farmers be able to rejoice in that farmer-consumer relationship. So that's that. Flying's kind of fun. I really enjoy that with kids.
I love that. That is so cool. And we've had the privilege of flying around with you a little bit too. We'll do it soon.
We'll do it again.
Yes,
we'll do it
again. That sounds like a great plan. Well, Mark, thank you. This was such a gift. And like I said, I think we're going to have a lot of people saying, encore, encore, we need him back. Yeah. So we will definitely make sure to have you back.
Well, I appreciate that. I actually, David Gumpert's website, I post there once in a while. He just posted today the 30 things that I am sharing with others that I learned from the International Milk Genomics Consortium meeting. And he did a nice job of editing it and keeping it concise. But yeah, I invite people to go to his blog and look at what posted there, which was my article. So
awesome. We'll go ahead and link. We'll add some of these links into the the show notes for sure.
Well, thank you so much. It's great
thank
to see
you.
You're gorgeous. You're wonderful. You're bubbling
thank
over.
You.
I love it.
Even though I'm finishing off a cold, the raw kefir actually helped me kick a lot faster than normal.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you, Mark.
I remember the early days of my son's diagnosis. I was so overwhelmed. I felt so isolated, like I couldn't just pick up the phone and call a friend for advice because how would they know? They never walked through a cancer diagnosis. In fact, I was so paralyzed that the only person I could talk to was this other cancer mom I had just met months before my own son was diagnosed. I would text her all day about everything from what meds her daughter had been put on to what I could expect to the nightmares I had all night to the tears I couldn't stop. I had wished I had a step-by-step protocol on how to help my baby feel well. I wanted to make sure he beat cancer. I wanted to keep him out of the hospital and prevent him from throwing up from chemo. I needed something besides Google. I needed a roadmap, a program, something I could log into whenever I needed and reference as often as I wanted. Thus, the birth of the Thriving Through Cancer program. I am thrilled to announce that the Thriving Through Cancer program is now available to purchase. Yes, you heard that correctly. It's finally here and the doors are officially open. Plus, as a special holiday gift, you will not only receive access to this priceless program, but you're also going to receive a gift of the Protocols to Thrive Through Cancer Guide. This guide includes over 30 detailed protocols to help you minimize some of the most common side effects often experienced while fighting cancer. We provide supplement recommendations and dosing as well. Now, here's what you can expect to receive by purchasing the Thriving Through Cancer course. 4 information-packed modules on diet and nutrition, detoxification, cleaning up your environment, and self-care. A series of video lessons, step-by-step instruction guides, downloadable ebooks, cheat sheets, shopping lists, recipes, audio interviews, along with transcription. You'll also get a bonus essential oil module that includes training video, resource guide, and a recipe guide. Plus, lifetime access to this program so you can go through it at your own pace and you don't have to be online or on the phone at any particular time. The value of this program is $3,000, but it was so important for me to make sure that this was a price you could invest in your health without breaking the bank. You get all of this for only $297. That's it, $297. And don't forget, just for purchasing this program before December 31st at midnight, you will also receive access to over 30 different protocols with recommended supplements and dosing information to help you mitigate side effects and challenges commonly experienced when fighting cancer. So to purchase the Thriving Through Cancer course, go to www.seasonjohnson.com/courses and select Thriving Through Cancer course. I can't even wait to see you on the inside and lock arms with you as you begin to thrive through cancer.